Again, Parshas Bamidbar. We'll have some also introduction to the upcoming Yom Tov of Shavuos. But we'll look into sugya in Parshas Bamidbar, a little halacha, a little machshava together. So we're going to start in Parak Gimel. These psukim on the sheet are a little not out of order, but skipped a section. So I'll just tell you that if you're looking at Chumash to follow along, the first few are okay. We're in Parak Gimel, pasuk Yedad through. Parak Yud Aleph through Yud Gimel. Just to get some context here, most of Parshat Bamidbar is the counting of Klal Yisrael in different forms. First, we count the regular Shvatim, and then Hashem tells Moshe not to count Sheva Levi. That's Parak Aleph. Parak Beis is again a repeat of all the Shvatim in terms of the Golem. So we've basically not counted them in numbers, but we've separated the Shvatim twice. Once in numbers, second time in the Golem. And then we're going to get back to Sheva Levi. But before we get back to counting Sheva Levi and giving the job of each of the B'nai Levi as we divide up B'nai Kahas and B'nai Gershom, we first have an introduction to that. So this is Parak Gimel Pasuk Yud Aleph. That's where we are. Before we're about to count, Hashem commands Moshe to count the Levium. He tells him something else about the Levium, related to Levium. Vayidaber Adonai Moshe l'emor, v'ani hine lakachni es Levium mitoch b'nei Yisrael, tachas kol b'chor petarechem b'nei Yisrael v'hayu li ha-Levium. I took from me, Hashem says, Levium mitoch b'nei Yisrael, from within all of the Jewish people, tachas, in place of or underneath, called Bechor Petarechem Mimnei Yisrael Vahayli Levim. I took them in place of the Bechorim, and then the Levim became for me. Why? Kili Kol Bechor Beyomi Kesi Kol Bechor Beyaretz. So I am Vigdashi Li Kol Bechor Beyisrael Mi Adam Vyad Behema Li Yu Ani Adonai. First, meaning he's not explaining why he chose Levim. Hashem's explaining why he had to substitute the Levim for the Bechorim. Why did the Bechorim have first rights here? Because I took them to be me in Mitzrayim. When I went into Mitzrayim and I separated between the Bechori Yisrael and Bechori Mitzrayim, I saved the Bechorim of Klal Yisrael while I killed the Bechorim of Mitzrayim, then I took for me and I gave a special status to the Bechorim, and now I'm switching them on the Levium. So what's going on here? What is going on here is the, what do you need? Here's the sheet. Oh, you want this?
Yeah, you can have it.
What do you want? Send me one. This? This? Are you talking
about? Yeah, that's what I was.
Alright, so we'll get you another one. Get another one?
Sorry.
Good. Sorry. You got your sheet? Okay, we're good. Perfect. Right. Excellent. Right, so now, what are we talking about here? What's this parsha about? What's going on is that we see that the Levium being the ones who are in charge of the Avodah, the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim, the Avodah, and the Levium.
So when he says Levium here, that includes the Kohanim?
Right now we're going to say Levium and Kohanim. No, let's say Levium. For now we're just going to say just Levium.
Fine.
It's both, you think both are true. I think both are right. Meaning that whatever was the rights the Bechorim had, Shevet Levi took over those rights, and I think then they're going to split that within Shevet Levi. So I would assume that we're referring to all of Shevet Levi, even the Kohanim, because what the Bechorim had the rights to is they had the right, they were in charge of the Avoda and the Beis HaMikdash. That's because of their special status that they achieved at Makos Bechoros, and they lost it. We'll see why. Torah doesn't explain why. It just says that I'm taking the Levium for myself, and I'm in place of the Bechorim.
Where does it say that they had that in the first place?
That's Pasuk Gimel. Kili. Why do I? First of all, it says Tachas. Right? I'm taking Levium Tachas the Bechorim. If everybody was equal at this point, it wouldn't say I'm taking Levium Tachas the Bechorim. I would just say taking Levium, and I'm separating them from the rest of Klal Yisrael. I need to separate the Levium.
Right. But there was no Beis HaMikdash.
There was no Beis HaMikdash yet, but the Levium had the right.
They were designated.
They were designated, right. And they were designated. I think the Mishnah in the end of Zvachim says that Ad Shelo Hukam HaMishkan, the right of the Avodah was for the Bechorim. Once the Mishkan became established, then this is when the switch took place. Mm-hmm. The Mefarshim deal with a question here, because I think it's clear in the Pesukim. It's a side question now that you asked it. It's clear in the Pesukim, already in the first parak. What part of the year are we talking about in the process of? Yeah, right. First pasuk in the sefer. By the Berner Moshe B'Mimor Sinai by Olam Oled Be'echad L'Chodesh Hashini B'Shana Hashini Sletzei Sumeret Tzayimli Mor. This entire parsha by Midbar is taking place when? First year from when they left Mitzrayim. Sorry, the second year after they left Mitzrayim, in the second month. When was the Mishkan established? When was the end of Sefer Vayikra, where we had Vayakal Pekudei, and finally the Mishkan was established? That was the first month of the second year from Mitzrayim. Rosh Chodesh Nisan, that was the day during the first week of Nisan, that's when they the Nesiim brought their Karbanos, and the Mishkan was established on Rosh Chodesh Nisan and became in use. So some of the Mefarshim ask a question you can think about and have a good answer. Why Hashem waited a month? He had a month where he could have switched the Leviim to the Bechorim right away, but he waited a month for whatever reason. So now we're in that month, and we're switching the task that the Bechorim have. Why are the Bechorim special? Again, because Casey Kol Bechor Baritz Yitzrayim, Hikdashti Li Kol Bechor, I made holy for me every Bechor, and now they're being switched. Why are they being switched? What changed? Originally the plan was to go with the Bechorim. We don't find often things change in the Chumash.
The eagle.
Right, Rashi over here, not on the sheep, but Rashi says, Mitoch Bnei Yisrael, Shayisel Sochen Olson L'Sheiru Shali, Yisrael, so to speak, hires the Bechorim for my service in the Mishkan. Idea Bechorim Zachisi Behem V'Lakach T'Tmurasam. Through the Bechorim, I now have the right to the Leviim, because I took them in place of the Bechorim. L'fi Shehaisa Avodah Bechoros. Originally, the Avodah was in the Bechor. Where else do we see in Chumash that we know the Avodah was destined to be for the Bechor? Where do we see a dispute with who has the right to a Bechor? Who fought over the Bechorah? Yaakov and Esav. That's exactly, Rashi over there says, that's exactly what Yaakov and Esav. Why was Yaakov so interested in the Bechor? Just to be called the firstborn son? Because Yaakov knew that the Bechor had with it a special status of Kedusha. The brachos were going to come with it, and the Avodah. And then that's why Rashi, that's why Esav says that Ani Holich Lamus, Lamali Bechora. Rashi over there fills in, why is Esav saying, I'm going to go die? Because Rashi says, if the Bechora includes in it all the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, I can't follow those rules, says Esav. That means that if I go in without the proper clothes, if I go in with a little bit too much wine, I'm going to be Chayv Misa. Esav says, I don't want this responsibility, and he relinquishes the Bechora to Yaakov. So there we see also from Rashi that the Bechora was Shayach to the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. So then what happened? Kishachatu be'egal nifsalu. They became puzzled from doing the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, but Leviim shelo avdu avodah zara nivcharu tachtayim. What makes Leviim special? They didn't partake in the Chet HaEgel. Even though Aaron, maybe this will be a difference between the Kohanim and the Leviim, like you pointed out, even though Aaron had a role in Chet HaEgel, but the Leviim didn't partake in the Chet HaEgel, and they get chosen. Good. That's the prelude to... that's the introduction of the switch that's going to happen. How did the switch actually happen? Now we have many psukim that delineate all the different jobs Leviim have. And then in the end of the parak, starting from Pasuk Mem, Hashem returns to this same topic. First job you have to do, Moshe, in Pasuk Mem, count every Bechor. Keep track how many Bechorim there are in Klal Yisrael. Let's say there are 10,000 Bechorim in Klal Yisrael. Take those 10,000, match them up to 10,000 Leviim, and you'll do a switch. And that switch happens automatically. I don't have to say, let's say 10,000, Shnaim v'esrim elef, Shlosha v'shivim mayos, right? Shnaim v'esrim elef, that is 22,000, Shlosha v'shivim mayos, and 273.
What does that mean?
What does what mean?
If he was replacing Leviim.
He was replacing the Leviim, he was replacing, removing the Bechorim, replacing the Leviim.
Why do you have to remove anybody? You just tell the new guys, you're
okay.
In.
Good. Because if you look back in Pasuk,
you gotta tell the old guys they're out.
They're done. Rashi said they became puzzle, which means that they can't do it anymore. You can't do it. Let's say you hire someone in a job. It's a good question. When you hire someone in a job, so when you fire, let's say you need to fire someone and then you need to rehire for that position. You don't bring the guy that you're hiring the day that you fire the guy and you say you two switch. You fire the guy, the position's open, then you send out a search and you hire the next person. So here, we're like somewhat symbolically, we're switching. But you don't need to be switched. The Bechorim lost this chus to do the Avodah. So that, if you look, the hint to that, if you look back what we just read, when Hashem explains what makes the Bechorim so special, it says, Ki li kol Bechor bayom hi kosi kol Bechor b'etzayim hikdashti li kol Bechor. I made holy to me every Bechor. There's a certain elevated status of Kedusha that the Bechorim have. And that elevated status of Kedusha may still be there, even though they lost their job that came with the Kedusha. There's an elevated status. Bechorim are special. Due to their elevated status, they get to do the Avoda. They can no longer do the Avoda, but that doesn't mean that there's something still not unique about a Bechor. And therefore, we have to say, we'll do a switch. How do we do this?
Why does it include the babies up to a month old?
Okay,
they,
so that...
They were not part of the...
So they're meant... They're sent for being... The Levium have that status. Who's trying? Henry's trying to call me. Is your phone not working?
Yeah, it's dead.
Okay, you're on. You there?
I call Bechor Zohar.
Can you hear?
Yeah, I'm on.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. All right, you're here. Good. So that's a good question. Rashi deals with that a little bit, but we'll hold off on that for now. Now, so how many do we have? Again, just keep track of the math. We have 20,273, right? So
200.
Now, so we have 20,273. So Hashem took 20,000 of the, just, we'll hold on to 20,000 for now. Hashem took 20,000 of the Bechorim, took 20,000 of the Levium, and made a switch. Now the status of the Bechor, the special, elevated, unique status of Kedusha, belongs to Levi now. Now we have a problem, though. The problem is, we have an extra 273. So now you have 273 Bechorim that have a elevated status of Kedusha on them, and we have nowhere to put that Kedusha because we ran out of Levium. So what do? Pasuk Mem Dal, by the Be'er Adar Moshe Limor, right? Money talks. Kach es Levium tachas kol Bechor b'vnei Yisrael, v'yas behem es Levium tachas behem tam v'yili Levium ani Adonai. You just did it. You just made a switch. Animals for animals, people for people. The 273 extras. What do we do with those extra? You take 5 shkalim for each of those, and the shekel is made up of esrim gera. That's how we try to figure out exactly how much the shekel is worth. You take that money, you give it to Aaron and his children as a piduye. What does the word piduye sound like?
Redemption.
What comes to mind? Pidyon and ben. Right? A pidyon. We take a redemption. We take a pidyon. The money is a pidyon, meaning they have a status. We need to remove that status, place it on the money. The money goes to the Kohanim. But now, we have a very strange pasuk, because the previous pasuk said, that's what we're going to focus on. The previous pasuk said, "Venasatas a kesel v'aron levano." Who gets the money? Aaron. The Ramban, some of the other mepharshim say, just like a regular pigeon of Ben. The Ramban says that we got the mitzvah of pigeon of Ben way back in Parshas Bo. We didn't know exactly what to do with the money. The Torah just told us that the Bechorim are holy. We have to then be poed to them. Who do we give the money to? The Ramban says this pasuk tells us the money goes to the Kohanim. When the Rambam brings the halacha of pigeon of Ben, he doesn't use the pesukim in Parshas Bo to show that the money goes to the Kohanim, he uses the Pesukim and Parshas by Midbar. But now we have a problem. Vayikach Moshe es kesef ha-piduyim me'es odfim ha-piduyi ha-leviyim. Who took the money?
Moshe.
Who was supposed to get the money?
Aaron.
Now we see that we solved the problem. Moshe didn't steal the money, chas v'shalom. Right? Exactly. Me'es kol b'chor, me'es b'chor b'nei yisol ha-kach es kesef ha-chamisha v'shishim v'shosh me'os v'elef b'shekel ha-kodesh. 5 times 273. That's what we're going to get to. Moshe as kesef ha-piduyim la'arul levanov. Moshe fulfilled what Hashem said, al pi Hashem, kasher tziva Hashem as Moshe. So Moshe fulfills exactly what was meant to be done, went to Moshe, and then went to Aaron Ubanov. First question is, that we'll get back to, why? Why do we need Moshe as the middleman? But the better question is, not just, no, God did not tell Moshe to take the money. It said, he's telling you, it's like every mitzvah, Moshe, you're in charge of relaying this mission as the teacher of Klai, this pasuk as the teacher of Klai Yisrael. Teach the Bechorim that they should give their money to Aaron Ubanov. Doesn't say you should take it. Moshe, he didn't go against what Hashem said, because he gave the money to Aaron, but he did come in between and pass the money over. So the first question is why. The second question, stronger question maybe, is how. How did Moshe do this? What gave him the right? What was that? It's not giving stuck, it's pigeon of Ben. Take the Levium. That's not even the money.
No. Who was he talking to?
That was the first. That's Moshe. Moshe's taking, because right. He's in charge of the switch. Good.
That's what actually happened.
No, this is later. Here's the main pasuk that we're focusing on.
Who's giving the money?
That money is coming from the Bechorim, right? But you're saying that's going to Moshe, you want to say?
That's what it means. Instructing Moshe to take the money.
And then give it to Aaron.
So the question remains.
Why didn't he go straight to Aaron?
That's the question. No one's questioning the sequence.
And now we'll see.
The question is, why just not give it to Aaron or Bar?
And we'll see how. Okay, then you'll say, what's the difference? Give it to Aaron, give it to Moshe. So now let's take our mashal of pigeon and ben. This is a little bit of the halachic part. So you have a mitzvah of pigeon and ben. So who does the money need to go to pigeon and ben? It has to go from the father of the son to the kohen. Let's say the father lives in one place and the closest kohen is miles and miles away. Cohen can't come from the Pidyon HaBen. He wants to do the Pidyon HaBen at time. What does he do? Maybe he could just say like this. Okay, my next door neighbor happens to be traveling on business to the town of the Cohen. You take the money for me, and you deposit it by the Cohen when you get there. Is there anything wrong with that? That seems to be exactly what's going on over here. Moshe's Aaron's next door neighbor, and Moshe's the Bechorim's extra neighbor, and Aaron is his brother, who he's obviously so close with, and he's going to see. What's wrong with that? So what's wrong with that is the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, in the Korean Simon Shinhei, Yeridei Simon Shinhei is the area of Shulchan Aruch that deals with Hilchos Pidyon HaBen. The Ramah in Shulchan Aruch says you cannot do Pidyon HaBen through a Shaluyach. Pidyon HaBen has to be done directly from the father to the Kohen. You can't have a middleman. Where does he learn? So the Ramah, where is the Ramah's source?
Because you should learn just the opposite.
Okay. So the Ramah's source is from a Rivash, an early Rishon of Shalos and Chuvos. The Ramah quotes the Rivash, and Jay's question is asked by the Malbim and by the Panim Yafos. We met the Panim Yafos last week, the Halfalah, but the
Malbim... He's an
intermediary. He's a shliach. This is not exactly Pidyon HaBen, but it's a Pidyon, and we see that the money really belongs to Aaron. Moshe was just the middleman taking the money of the Bechorim and giving it to Aaron. Shouldn't we learn from this Parsha in the Torah that the Ramah is Psak is not correct? And the Shach and the Taz on the side of the Shulchanach, they argue on this Ramah. They don't quote the story. They just say, of course, Pidyon HaBen can be done through a shliach, and we'll see why. But let's just see on the sheet, the Malbim asked Jay's question, or however you want to say it. Maybe Jay asked the Malbim's question. Me'ez b'chor.
Say like that.
Me'ez b'chor b'nei Yisrael lakach et hakesef. Okay, b'al l'may b'chor y'levim sh'arat ha'yim chuyavim liftos et atzman. So then the pasuk's trying to teach you that you shouldn't think that, let's say you have a firstborn Levi, he's got like two things going for him. Does he have to be pulled himself? Says the Torah, no, he doesn't have to. The atan, next line, v'ata nishtana dinam shepadu et atzman below kesef, v'zeh nishar l'dora shalavim p'turim pidyon haben. Gam hodiya shagorel ala al-bechorim gedolim shehim atzman nasnu as a kesef v'lo al-bechorim k'tanim shinu avoseim ba'adam. Here is different than regular pidyon haben, that the fathers themselves, the older people, are paying not just for the kids, but paying for themselves. So there's a little bit of a different form of pidyon haben here, or pidyon bechorim. V'agav, by the way, now, hodiya shahia pidyon haide Moshe. The pidyon was done through Moshe. Kedas ha-shach, shiach leftos haide shliach, chamisha v'shishim b'shekel ha-kodesh. Okay, then he explains what the next line in the Torah is saying. Why does it say Chamisha v'shishim v'shekel ha-kodesh? And it says you have to pay exact cash. You can't pay just the value of cash. Panim Yafos asks the same thing. And he tries to do, he has a long, if you want to take a look, he has a long fancy explanation how he tries to explain that when the Ramah said that you can't do Pidyon HaBen through a shaliach, he didn't mean the money. The transfer of money, of course, can be done through a shaliach. He meant the interaction between the Kohen and the Mira and the clarifying of this is Pidyon HaBen, that has to be done directly. So according to that, Panim Yafos, in the case that we gave with the far away Kohen from the father, so that he could send the money through the shliach, through the mail, and he just has to call the Kohen on the phone and directly deal with him in terms of the...
So how would they have done it like 150 years ago?
If they were stuck. If you held like this Ramah, you were stuck. You can't do Pidyon HaBen unless you...
Speak directly, right.
So you have to find the Kohen directly. That happens to be that...
Eventually they would have found the Kohen. I mean, you find the Kohen, you can do the Pidyon HaBen.
There's a famous story with the Vilna Gaon that he would... question this, different ways the story said, but how many times he did it, but he was a Bechor himself, And any time he would meet another Kohen, until a certain point, not clear when he stopped, he would give him coins and be poed to himself. Why? Because he says that we don't know. Nowadays, we don't have any proof, 100% foolproof proof who the Kohanim are. So he was nervous, so he would try to...
I trust you.
He would try to... Well, I didn't do your pigeon event.
I trust you as a Kohen.
Okay.
Had I known you, you would have been.
That's a pretty good deal for the
Kohanim. It's not the same Kohen every time, but...
they're still cashing all cash in.
They're all cashing in, yeah.
It's a good cash business.
They're all cashing in, yes. I guess the Kohanim if they probably tried to go and say Shalom Aleichem to the Vilna Gaon so they could get a... extra cash. Right, well, you gotta give it. You have to give it. Okay, so that's the question that we're asking on the Ramah. So let's try to answer this question, and then we'll have, by answering this question, we could shed new light into what's exactly going on in this parsha. And the answer for the Ramah, I think, is somewhat obvious. The other Mefarshim have more complicated answers, that although this is a pidyon, it says, right, Piduya Halevim, Ulevano Piduya Odfim Bahem, it is a pidyon. This is not the mitzvah pidyon aben. The mitzvah pidyon aben is mainly found in Parshas Bo. We might learn some halachos from here because they both share a common. They're obviously something in common. They're both a pidyon, but it's not the mitzvah pidyon aben. So if the Ramah holds that in the mitzvah pidyon aben, the reason why that what is the reason why it can't be done like a shaliach, the Vilna Gaon that we just mentioned on the Ramah asks a number of questions. First question he asks is, I have no clue what you're talking about because this not you can't even talk about shlichus here. What's the mitzvah pidyon aben? It's a very simple mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah like you have to do a certain action. You, as the father of a firstborn child, owe the Kohen money. You owe machov, he says. You pay back your chov. You don't need to directly do that. If I owe you a money in a business transaction, you would never say, oh, you paid me back through someone else. I don't want it. It's my money. It came from my bank account. Who cares how I delivered it to you? That's the Ramah. That's the Gra's first question, the Ramah. And his other question is, and even if you want to say that you have to have some interaction, it's more than just a chov, but maybe there's like a action the mitzvah involved.
Like food?
Not even.
Like pizza.
No, a chov is a like so you owe something. You owe money to someone. If I borrow you money, so now I have a chov to you. I owe you. So when you have the pidyon aben, even if it's more than just a monetary obligation, and there's some form of a mitzvah, of a maisa mitzvah, but the Gra says that shlichus means that you could step in my place. You could step in my place to do this. So why wouldn't shlichus work? That might be true for the Ramah by pidyon aben, that there's more than just paying back money, and maybe there needs to be a interaction between father and kohen. But here, it's a different form of pidyon. It's a form of pidyon where it was a one-time thing, where temporary mitzvah, where the Levium need to remove the special status of the Bechorim. The Sforno here says, I think he says also with Pidyon Aben, this is like the main source that's quoted in this context, that Bechor is not just a mitzvah, firstborn son, it's just a mitzvah Poda. A Bechor has a special status of holiness. And he says that before this Pidyon was done, the Bechorim, they would not be allowed to work in regular mundane work. You wouldn't be allowed to use them and say, hey, Mr. Bechor, do me a favor and go help me carry this stuff because they have Kedusha. Until you do the pidyon, they have a certain status of Kedusha that needs to be removed from them. And that's what's going on over here. A one-time thing to change the avoda from Bechorim to Levium. In this context, it's understandable that Moshe can act as a middleman because it's not your typical Maisa mitzvah. The reason for the Ramah that you can't have a middleman is because maybe when the mitzvah pidyon aben, it's a special mitzvah where you need an interaction between the Kohen and the father. That's the definition of the mitzvah. But here, it's more practical. It's not as much of a mitzvah that we need to make sure the Kohanim and the Bechorim are getting together. But the way the Brisker Rav is quoted saying that it's a schus that we need to remove the status of the Bechorim. Technically, we could have removed it onto the money and thrown the money into the ocean. That would have done just as well. Then the Bechorim would not be holy. Levium are holy regardless of this money. But we did a special favor for Levium. We gave them a matana. We gave them a present. They have this special schus that they could be involved in this mitzvah. And therefore, we could even give it through Moshe. It could even work through a middleman because it's not the same exact mitzvah as pidyon aben. It's more practical in the sense that it's a special present that the Kohanim get. Why did that need to happen? Because we needed to remove the status of the Bechorim. They don't have to necessarily interact with each other. That is this mitzvah. Now, to understand this better, what this interaction is and why Moshe specifically, we asked, how does this work? I think we answered. But why do we specifically want Moshe in the middle, then you have to understand what changed between the avoda being set by the Bechor and being shifted to Levim. Did anything change? Obviously, the avoda stayed the same, but what does the Bechor represent and what does the Levi represent that we could say, okay, now that the avoda is in the hands of Levim, we're going to look at the avoda this way. When the avoda was in the hands of the Bechorim, we looked at them that way. What makes them special? So if you look here, we've introduced ourselves to a new sefer. This sefer is called Shiftei Ka, and it's one of the many Svarim of Rav Moshe David Vali. Vali, I think it's pronounced, like volleyball. Who is Rav Moshe David Vali? Rav Moshe David Vali is not as well known, but he was a close Talmud. Either he was a student, or actually they were contemporaries, they were colleagues of the Ramchal, the author of the Mesilas Yesharim and many other Svarim. Rav Moshe David Vali, like the Ramchal, was a big Mekubal, and he wrote Svarim, which were recently printed. They were out of print for a long time. I think on all of Tanakh, or most of Tanakh. He has a separate sefer on Sefer Shoftim and a separate sefer on Sefer Yecheskel. He explains the psukim. I'm not so familiar with the sefer because he explains the psukim all based on Kabbalah. How Kabbalah will read very, you know, sometimes you'll get a nevuah, especially in Nevi'im Achronim, where it's very out there. What exactly is the Nabi Yecheskel trying to tell you with the wings and all the visions? And he explains in Kabbalah what's trying to be said. But here, in one snippet of what he says in this parsha, there's something we can understand a little bit. So he's focusing on the earlier psukim that we read in Yud-Aleph, that he's separating the Levim mitoch b'nei Yisrael. The Levim are separated from outside of b'nei Yisrael. Ki b'chol dargin ilan, in every high level of kedusha, every time someone tries to grow higher, yesh chilek hayadua, there's a well-known distinction that we can make. Shel pnimi tichon v'chitzon. If you imagine like armor, right? You could have the outer armor that, let's say, the knight or the soldier wears, and then you have the in-between armor, and then the chitzon, let's say you have like a bulletproof vest, something that's more internal, more closely on the body of the person that's wearing it. So he says, when it comes to things of Kedusha, let's say the Jewish people, there are three, if you make a circle, there are three levels. There's the innermost level, there's the middle level, like we say by the Mishkan, the Beirach HaTichon, the middle level, and the chitzon, the outer level. So we find, by the Jewish people, those three things. We have the Pnimi is the Kohen, the Tichon is the Levi, and the Chitzon is the Yisrael. And that's what it means, Mitoch B'nai Yisrael, that they are literally in B'nai Yisrael. He separated them Mitoch, because if you have three levels, you have Kohen, Levi, Yisrael. And that means that before the Levium were separated, we didn't have exactly that structure. What was the structure? You had all of Klai Yisrael, and the Bechor was unique. The Bechor wasn't a separate Shevet. The Bechor could have came from every Shevet, which means that in every Jewish home and every Jew, there was the potential for either him or his next generation to be the ones who have the special vote in the Beis HaMikdash, have an elevated status of Kedusha. And it was basically spread evenly throughout Klai Yisrael.
So why did it change?
Through the Chet HaEgel, they became, like Rashi said, they became Pasul, which means that because that level of Kedusha was so high, and it was so great that every Jew had that ability to grab onto that holiness of the Beis HaMikdash, that means that it was very susceptible. If it's a very Kodesh thing, then you have to be careful with it. It's susceptible to...
But there was no Beis HaMikdash.
But there was still the status was always there. They were destined to be the ones in the Avoda. There's more than just being the one who has the right to do the Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. It's
the
chicken and the egg. The cause is they were very special, elevated status. Therefore, when it was time for Beis HaMikdash, they were the ones that were chosen for the Avoda, but it could manifest itself in other ways. Like the Sforno says, that you shouldn't have acted with them in Divrei Chol. You should treat them as holy. Maybe they would be the ones. The Psukim and Navi say that the job of the Kohen is more than just the Beis HaMikdash, that he's the main teacher. He's one of the roles is to be a teacher of Klai Yisrael. Maybe the Bechorim would have had that as well.
Who was doing whatever needed to be done in the Mishkan during that month?
I don't know. It's a good question. That's basically what I was raising before. It sounds like it's possible the Bechorim, but I think their Gemaras sound not that way. The Gemara sounds that as soon as the Mishkan was established,
somebody had to be doing it.
So it sounds like the Levium were doing it, but we still didn't remove the Kedusha from the Bechorim. The Levium always had their Kedusha. That's true. It's just that the Bechorim...
Well, if the Bechorim were Tomei, then why would they be doing it?
No, they probably were not. But the question that we raised, you got to look around.
So maybe that's why, if they actually did it, then they would have to have that kedusha removed from them, because before that they were designated.
They had a right, right?
But they hadn't actually.
Yeah. They had a right to do it. They haven't had a chance to implement that for 100% for sure. And the Bechorim, when they had that unique status, so they had to be careful with it, and they weren't careful with it. And any the Veira of the Cheder Eagle, then automatically Hashem can't just say, I'll be a mochel on it, because if there was an elevated status, once you took that status and got it mixed in with the wrong things, it became puzzle. And that's what you see if you look in the next source when we get introduced to the Bechorim, right? Before this all happened, Kaddish Li Kol Bechor Petter Kol Rechem Bnei Yisrael Biadam V'Him Alihu. Doesn't talk about pidyon. Says that the Bechorim are holy. They're holy for me. Lihu. They're to me. Mind. Says Rashi. La'atzmi Kenisi Osam Alidei Sheikisi Bechorim Mitzrayim. Like our Pesukim is saying, I acquired them. I brought them closer to me to give them this elevated status. And then that changed. And then we find two divisions. We find Levi and Cohen. So maybe the reason why, this is our second question, not how did Moshe do that, he doesn't have the right to, but why did Hashem set up the Moshe to do it this way? To show this exact point, to show the levels of Kedusha within Klal Yisrael, to take the money from the Bechorim, stop it at stop one, Shevet Levi, Moshe Shevet Levi, even though Moshe at one point had a status of a Cohen, but Moshe represents Shevet Levi. Moshe took that money, and then he passed it off to its final destination, to Aaron Ubanov. So we had the money pass through all three levels of Kedusha of Klal Yisrael. And these three levels represent different things. The role of the Kohen, the role of the Levi, and the role of the Bechor, which means an elevated status of a Jew, all have different roles. The role of the Kohen, we know, is in the Beis HaMikdash, and to bring Kapara to Klal Yisrael. And that's why Aaron, who was the ultimate Kohen, what was his whole job? We learned in Pirkei Avos. He was always putting himself out to bring Jews closer together. And that's exactly what the Kohanim do. When Jews sin and they're distanced, the Kohanim bring a karbon, bring them together. The Levim, they don't have that role. They're not in the spotlight.
They're singing
to take care of the Beis HaMikdash. And we know the role of Moshe Rabbeinu is very different than Aaron or Kohen. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't the role. Obviously, he strived for peace. It was all the Ovish, but he wasn't the ultimate. Moshe Rabbeinu was a little bit more Midas Hadin. When Moshe had his times of Rachamim, when the Jewish people said that he had to daven on their behalf, but Moshe also, so as the teacher of Klal Yisrael, the one who was giving them the Sorah of the Torah, he couldn't be as flexible. He had to be more rigid. And then you have all of Klal Yisrael, and then the Bechorim representing that, because they've reached that elevated status, where their role also, they're not involved per se in the day-to-day of the Beis HaMikdash. They're more there to accept. How do they elevate themselves? By accepting and listening and following the directions of the Kohanim and Levim, to have these circles. But don't think that all's lost for the Bechorim. There's still some hope if anyone's a Bechor here, they shouldn't feel down. We haven't taken everything. There's still some hope. If you look here in the last source, get back to the second last source, but if you look in the last source, the Orach Chaim of Kadosh and Parshas Bamidbar, Anar Pesukim has an interesting idea that he thinks is based on Chazal, and there's some discussion about this in the later commentaries, exactly how to work this out. But on the pasuk of Hayali Halevim Ani Hashem, so which that was pasuk, was it in our first section or our second section? I think it was our first section. Hayali Halevim Ani Hashem pasuk.
Not on this paper.
No, it's on the paper. 1 second, I think.
Yeah, right,
it's pasuk mem aleph. Lekachas levim. Oh no, lekachas levim li ani Hashem. No, it's pasuk mem vav. That's the behemoth levim. Lekachas behemoth vav. Vayuli al levim ani Hashem, and levim should be for me because I am Hashem. Says the Or Chaim, hakavara b'mamar ani Hashem. Why do we need that? Vayuli levim halavim. Period. Ani Hashem. Lomar shagam shamru v'asino zal. Hagam, since Chazal say, quotes the Medrash on the Yalkut, Asida Avoda Shetachzu LeBechoros. In the future, the Avoda will return to the Bechoros. Lo Yardu Leviim Mios LaHashem. But don't think that it's going to be a change, just like when the Leviim stood in the place of the Bechorim, we knocked the Bechorim down, we put the Leviim up. In the future, Vayuli Leviim Ani Hashem. Leviim will also be there. They won't lose their status of being LaHashem. V'hu Amr Vayuli Ani Hashem K'shem Sheshmi Liolam V'ad K'mochin Yali Liolam. Just like my name is everlasting, the Leviim will also be everlasting. But in the future, you're going to have partners, Leviim, because the Bechorim are going to come back, the Avodah will return to them.
Why?
Because what? Their status is still there. They have.
They always had that.
They have
their status.
They lost
the shekels. Right?
Well, the money was allowed them to then be treated as chulin, to be treated on their lower status for the time being. But
for the time being,
deep down, in like we're saying, there's three levels. But in the pnimius, deep down, the bechorim have that ability to come forth and shine. And la'asilavo, when we could look past the chet egel, and the chet egel will be irrelevant history. And the Jew could come to be what he truly represents, and the Avodah will turn back to the Levium. And okay, so they paid the money, and that doesn't mean that they lost the chance to ever have that status. So you see that there's something still to them.
So what was the pigeon?
The pigeon was to allow for that time. They have the potential. The pigeon was that in actuality, in halacha.
I don't want these guys
To treat them.
We're
going to be partnering. So how are we going to be partnering? Now, if you look at Matan Torah, if you look at Pasuk Yates, "Va'atemt yulim amachas kohen and the goy kadosh il advarim asher tiber al bnei Yisrael." What does Hashem tell every Jew?
Revoke.
What does Hashem tell every Jew? He's melechas kohanim. And what does Hashem tell every Jew in Parsha Shmos when Hashem tells Moshe to go to Paro? What is the first message? What is the first message that Hashem tells Moshe tells the Paro? He says, "Tell Paro that what's Klal Yisrael for him? Bini, Bechori Yisrael." So we see that Klal Yisrael is referred to as Bechorim, and Klal Yisrael as a whole at Matan Torah is referred to Mamlechas Kohanim Begoy Kadosh, because even though, like we quoted, there are three levels, but every Jew is connected, and there's a concept, a greater concept of Klal Yisrael. There's a one unifying neshama of Klal Yisrael, even though we made up of individuals. That means that every Jew, even though if he may not be a practicing Kohen or Levi, I don't want to take that away from you, but he has a connection to that. He's a Mamlechas Kohanim. And what Matan Torah shows us, and what the whole transference of the Bechorim, and what's going to come back in the future, is that we do have an elevated status. Even if you're not a Bechor, and you're not a Kohen, but every Jew is connected to that because there are Jews that have those levels, and the more he connects to them and is ready to listen to what the Kohanim, the Levim, the Bechorim, the Jews who have shown themselves of high stature, if he's ready to listen to them and accept what they have to say, then he'll bring in within himself those areas, those rings of Kohanim, Levim, and Bechorim, and he'll be able then to become what it ultimately is. Every Jew should achieve these elevated status, and that's what we learn. Mainly one of the reasons why we read the Mefarshim like the tie-in reasons of Parshas Bamidbar preceding Chag HaShavuos, and that's one of the lessons. To stand up and realize, Mamlechas Kohanim, when we got the Torah, we didn't just become simple people. Every Jew had the ability to be a Kohen, to be a priest, to be a high level. We can't just say, I'm just a simple person. Because every simple Jew
Priest and rabbi.
Every simple Jew has the ability to connect to higher levels of Kedusha.